We're talking with Steve Thompson, Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and Steve, we're basically at the end of 2019. As you have gone through the legislative session, the implementation of all the pieces of legislation that became law, a lot of those are now implemented at the state level. What are some things that kind of stick out in your mind that came out of state government and the legislative process over the last 12 months?
Well, and I think the story for 2019 really was the first year of a new administration and a first year for a record class size-wise of freshman legislators. I think there were so many new faces in and around in the Capitol, both from an ag policy perspective and just a state public policy perspective, that everybody kind of got their feet wet. The governor and his team did a remarkable job of trying to address some of the problems that maybe have gone unaddressed for a number of years. We're so very fortunate to have an ambassador like Secretary Blaine Arthur in the agriculture slot, and she's done a remarkable job with the Department of Agriculture and been such a good voice for us in the governor's cabinet room. And I think that those are the things that we look back and think that, you know, there was a lot of good work done. But most of that, I think, was really just step one. And I know that there are a number of things that we talk about in agriculture that we're really stressed with right now, both economically and from a livestock perspective, trying to prepare for the what-if events that you read the headlines nationally and internationally. We know there's lots of problems, both from animal health and from international trade. And so I think when we look back at 2019, it was trying to get this new crop of folks, both within the administration and the state legislature, get them acclimated. We feel like, on balance, it was a very, very good year. But it was just the first step into trying to dig into things on behalf of Oklahoma agriculture.
Seems that, as the lawmakers sorted things out this past session and some of the things were going on within the executive branch as well, there was a few more dollars available. It seemed like the stress on money wasn't as great as we saw the last couple of years of the Fallon administration.
Truly, that changed the climate in state government more than anything I've seen in a long, long time. But you know, if you look at your household budget or your business budget, if you have a deficit, life's pretty tough. And if you have a surplus, it's a lot easier to have a smile on your face. And this year at the Capitol, there was a surplus. They made a record investment in the rainy day fund. They were able to put some money aside, which I think was a very wise investment. It was controversial in some quarters, but we're very proud about the diligence that they showed to be responsible there. And we were able to invest a little bit, both in a second straight year of teacher pay raises and a few of our core agencies that we rely on, both the Department of Ag. I think they were able to get some money for their laboratory and their state veterinarian's office. And the critical team at the Conservation Commission and the Conservation Districts, they got a little bit of targeted money that they desperately needed to put on the ground to do good work in Oklahoma. So that changed the tone. You know, whenever there is money in your bank account at the end of the month, life is a lot better than whenever there's a deficit. And we saw the upside of that for the first time in a long time in 2019.
You mentioned state vet Dr. Rod Hall. He's got several things, balls he's juggling right now. I guess I know you've got a lot of members that are very worried about the wild hog, the feral swine situation, and as well as just this animal ID thing that Dr. Hall's been championing.
You know, times right now for animal ag producers are very, very challenging. You know, we have a number of disease threats that face our producers. We've tried to do our best with the federal government and the state government to try to prepare for that. But, you know, you never really know if you really are prepared. Certainly, some of the price issues that we've faced, you know, you look back, one of the big stories of the year was the fire at the packing plant in Kansas. The challenges have been deep and wide, and we've debated whether we're in the right place on animal ID amongst our membership. And I have worked very closely with Dr. Hall and Secretary Arthur on that, and tried to see what's going to happen from the USDA on down with that. I know that we are very interested in what they're doing, technologically speaking, some pilot projects with a few sale barns in Oklahoma and Kansas, and we want to be a good partner with them. And we actually adopted new policy at Farm Bureau to kind of make sure that it was clear that we wanted to be a player in that process of helping develop those systems. You know, we're not real keen on any kind of mandatory regulations, but we do want to be part of the solution and work together with the state and federal government, as well as some of the technology companies, to make sure that what happens in the future is a good fit for both animal health professionals as well as our producers.
Your public policy team, you work not just with that at the state level with the governor and the lawmakers, but you're also engaged with the congressional delegation for Oklahoma. Several challenges there, obviously. Most recently, this breakthrough for the U.S. Mexico-Canada agreement, USMCA. It seems that we've got a group of lawmakers that are, for the most part, pretty unified on several of these issues that are important to Farm Bureau.
Yes, federally speaking, you know, five letters, USMCA, that has been our whole world, it seems like, all of 2019. And we're hoping to have a down payment on a pretty good Christmas gift for the industry on that, now that the House and the Senate and the White House, as well as Mexico and Canada, have formed a newly fashioned agreement. There weren't too many changes made in what we've had on the table for a long time, but at least now we have the signal that perhaps next week that the House will run that through. And so we're thankful in Oklahoma that our delegation has been positive on that from all corners. All of our House members, as well as our two U.S. senators, I think have been outspoken and really took somewhat of an unprecedented step and did kind of a joint press release, a bipartisan wise, and both across chambers, speaking out the need to go ahead and cement that certainty for our producers by locking down our two biggest trading partners with Mexico and Canada. So we're watching that very closely, but we're not counting those chickens until they hatch. But we're ready to see that take another step forward.
2020. What are some things on your radar that Oklahoma Farm Bureau, from a public policy point of view, what are you going to be watching most closely?
Well, as we launch into a new session, we've seen a better budget, as we mentioned, for the state, and a little bit of a relief as far as increases in taxes and other things that were out there pretty hot and heavy for a while. But when you look at the price of oil and gas and a few things that really fuel the balance of the state budget, we're concerned that that things may be easing a little bit there, and so the money that the state put in the rainy day fund may become very, very important. But we think that there's a lot of groups visiting with us about proposals for tax increases, whether it be from a city level or a county level or a statewide level, that we're very concerned about, that the number of things that may be coming our way. And so we're going to make sure that we continue the dialogue at the state capitol. All of our staff, all of our members are there on a daily and weekly basis to make sure they understand truly some of the financial pressures in agriculture for landowners right now, and that you know, if the cities want to pass an ad valorem tax, there's a lot of negative consequences to that, and explaining why that affects our producers, and working with our friends in county government along the same way. And so I think making sure that ag producers and landowners have a voice at the Capitol on those issues, because truly, commodity prices have not increased nearly to the rate that we would need if you look back historically. And so some of those tax rates really don't need to go up as well.
One issue that came up at your Farm Bureau convention from your delegate body, a lot of good policy, obviously, debate there that came out of that annual meeting. One that a couple folks came up to me during that process of saying that this was something that's so important to them was this black buzzard issue. It seems that that's been in kind of that it's out there. Maybe not a lot of people really understand it, but this has been a real, real problem for some of our cattle producers.
You know, we talk about the pressures that livestock producers in Oklahoma face, and there's a long and deep list, but truly, in certain parts of the state, I would tell you there's nothing more dangerous for them than the black buzzard. It is a federally protected under the Migratory Bird Act. We're able to work with both the State Department of Ag and the USDA to get an occasional permit to take one of those when they are harassing our animals. But frankly, we're not able to do that nearly enough. And so I know that Secretary Arthur and her team have been really pushing hard up towards D.C. with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in an attempt to show them the problems that we've had, and they've been a little bit unwilling to listen to the problems we've had on the ground. I know that we have a number of Farm Bureau members in southeast, south central, and really kind of moving north and west from the corner of the state out, that they have horrible stories to tell. They lose a dozen calves or more a year to that, and it's a brutal thing, and it's just not right, legally speaking, to tell a producer that they can't take care of a problem when somebody is threatening an animal, is threatening their livestock or their crops. They ought to be able to defend that. We see those problems in western Oklahoma with white-tailed deer in certain pockets, just devastating crops. That is a game species protected by the Wildlife Department that has caused a number of issues. And in the eastern side, it's the buzzards, the feral hogs, it's things like that we ought to be able to. You know, feral hogs, we're able to take them anytime, any place when they cause problems. And truly, it should be that way with anything. If somebody breaks into your house and threatens damage, you have the right to defend yourself and your family. And we feel the same way about our crops and our livestock.